Of us here in this room right now are dealing with a lot. From sickness to surgeries to cancers to the realities of life, many in this room this morning are heavy burdened and overwhelmed. This morning, before we even begin, I want to read you the words of the song that we opened our service with this morning. The words that I read to Larry on Friday afternoon. Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Church, hear me this morning before we even begin. God is still faithful. And God is still good. Today I'm supposed to be in Daniel chapter 8. To be honest with you, the sermon is ready. It's in my desk. So if you want to stay for a few hours, 2 o'clock, we'll do Daniel chapter 8. No, we'll save it for next week. I can't dig into it today. Today I need to tell you about the faithfulness and the goodness of God that Pastor Brian and I have had a front row seat to recently. This morning I need to tell you about my buddy Blue. Before we start, though, before we dig in, let's pray. Father, we give thanks, Lord, for your goodness, your faithfulness. Lord, it's very obvious that you're already here this morning like you promise. Lord, and I, as we look into your faithfulness and goodness, Lord, remind us of who you are. God, you're good. In your name, amen. For over 15 years, I have had the privilege to drive north on 15 for about 8 miles and then turn left on Angling Road and then a right on Rich Valley Road. Realize I'm driving too fast and slow down just in time to turn right again into the parking lot of Walk by Faith Community Church. In those 15 years, I've experienced many great mountaintop moments and some moments of difficulty. In those 15 years, I've had a front row seat to God showing up in huge, powerful, and awesome ways. Many of you in this room this morning have been part of the journey, part of those 15 years. One of you is missing this morning. A person who was always consistent. A person who was always kind. A person who was always an encourager. The person I'm talking about is my buddy, Blue. You know him as Larry Meyer. You might be asking, why in the world do you call him Blue? Well, let me tell you a story. In 2010, Nashville flooded. Some wonderful people in our church had the idea to head south. And so I was like, we're going to a flood. These people are without water. So I went and bought a couple bottles of water. Now, we filled that short bus up with people and water, like to the top. Well, Larry drove. And it rained when we left early that morning. Some of you in this room are on that trip. We get down to Nashville, and it's obvious that it was devastating for those that were there, and it was hot. Imagine this. I was sweating. I actually was working, not taking pictures. And so Larry had a bandana, a blue bandana on. And I was like, man, it'd be nice if I could have one of those. And Larry, being Larry, said, I have another one. Here you go. And from that day on, Larry was blue to me, and I was blue to Larry. That's who I was, and that's who Larry was to me. So this morning, I got to tell you a few things about what Larry taught me about the goodness and the faithfulness of God. One of the greatest things that Larry taught, ever showed me, and showed of all of us, was the need and the ability to keep the faith. I can't tell you how many seasons or times that I've stood up here in sermons and encouraged you and motivated you to press on, like Paul says, and to continue and to keep running your race and to endure, that God has a plan for you and it's a perfect plan. I've told you guys that many times. I've told you to not give up. My buddy Blue, Larry didn't quit. Larry didn't give up. Larry continued. Larry pressed on. For those of you that know Larry the best, know that Larry didn't have an easy really last 10 years of his life. Cancer came calling twice. God called two of his children home. And then Larry's best friend named Nancy went through cancer herself. But through it all, my friend Blue kept the faith. Hardships came. Difficulty came. Pain came. Struggle came. But Larry kept the faith. Did Larry have moments of doubt? Yeah. Did Larry have moments of struggle, hurt, and pain? Absolutely. But through it all, those things didn't define my friend Blue. You know what defined my friend Blue? His relationship with his heavenly Father that's good. Larry's hope was in his good, good Father. Larry lived out the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7, where we read, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Can I tell you Larry's secret? How Larry kept the faith? Larry trusted in his heavenly Father. Larry lived and trusted the words in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a verse that many of us know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Another thing that Larry taught me over the years and taught us and showed us was the importance to have a role in the work that the Lord is doing. I call this one the role in the church that Larry played. I'll never forget sitting in Larry's wood shop a few years ago. It was during that crazy season that we call COVID. I think Larry and I were breaking a few rules meeting together, but anyway. After Larry got done telling me his thoughts on COVID, and he had just a few, he then went into great detail about his latest wood project, and there was Nancy telling Larry, he doesn't care. Larry paused and he looked at me after he gave me an orange slice. If you know, you know. He wanted to tell me something he never told me before. Larry told me he couldn't give a lot to the church, but he could give his time and he could give his talents. He told me it was a privilege to make stuff for the church. He told me it brought him great joy to see the things that he built for the youth and teenagers. You have no idea all the stuff we use all the time that my friend Blue built. Sunday school this morning, the table you were on. And I'm sure it was a headache. I'm sure at times it might have even caused stress. But I'll never forget sitting in the shop that day. You see, Larry was teaching me, a young pastor, a lesson. Larry taught me all that we all have a role to play in the church. All of us have incredible God-given talents and abilities. All of us have God-given gifts. Larry gave the greatest gifts to us here. He gave his time, he gave his energy, and he gave his talents. If you look around right now, you see Larry. I know his family's here, but if you look around right now, you see Larry. You see it in my pulpit that I'm using. You see it in the cross behind me. You see it in the bookshelves in my office, the cabinet in front of Lynn's office. You see my buddy Blue everywhere. Church, I turn to you now. What do you have to give? You might not have the money. You might not have the ability to teach or sing, but what God has given you, he wants you to use for him. Use your talents. Use your God-given abilities to reach a world that so desperately needs to hear about their Savior, Jesus. Be part of the work that the Lord is doing. Find your joy and your purpose in the things of the Lord. Friday was a powerful day for many reasons. After lunch Friday, it was very clear that Larry was ready to go see Jesus. As I was standing with Larry, he kept on pointing towards the clock. Larry knew it was time. Larry knew what was to come. Larry knew the promises of Scripture that he was going to be in glory in the split second. Larry knew that he was soon going to experience everything that we read about in Scripture. He was going to experience the promises and the goodness of God. Larry knew that he was soon going to hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Larry was not only wanting and ready to go, he even smiled when I said, "Jesus is going to see you soon." Church, I've been with a lot of people at the end. I've been with some of you in those moments. I have never been around someone so ready to see Jesus. Larry knew that Jesus had a place set for him. Larry knew that he had an appointment to get to. He had waited a long time for his name to be heard or called, and it was being called. Church, that is faith. That is hope. Church, that is the power of a relationship with a good and faithful God. That is the power of a life changed. Yes, Larry had a past. We talked about it. That was the power of a life changed through the blood of the cross. Church, that is victory. Are you ready today? If your name was called today, are you ready? Larry wasn't anxious. Larry wasn't scared. He was early on, but when I knew that it was close, Larry was at peace. Larry believed the words, knew the words of Jesus in John 14, 1 through 3. These are the words of Jesus. Let me read them to you. John 14, 1 through 3. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you," this is verse 3, "I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am." As I was saying goodbye to my friend Blue on Friday, I looked at him and I told him, "Larry, you'll soon see victory. You'll soon have victory." I grabbed Larry's hand and I told him the truth and the promises of God's word. While I was doing that, I also did something for him. I told you last week that I gave Larry my bracelet, and I did last week. But somewhere in the process of Larry being taken care of, I'm sure that got cut off or taken away, and that's fine. So you see, the first time I gave Larry my bracelet, he was asleep. This time, I got to tell Larry about the bracelet. I got to tell him the truth and the power of the words written on it. You see, the words written on it is victory, and it is finished. We gave these out at Easter. I looked at my friend, and I asked him if I could put it on his wrist. Before I could be finished talking, Larry's wrist was reaching up. And I put it on it. Larry was letting everyone know, and all those around him, that he had victory. The battle had been won for Larry. Larry knew and trusted the words of Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory." Larry knew and trusted and believed also in the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Church, I tell you now what I told Larry on Friday. Victory is found only in Jesus. Jesus wasn't joking when he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." You see, Larry had his victory. His future was in the best hands, his Creator, his faithful and good God. I ask you now. I ask you if you're ready, but I ask you now. Do you have victory? Behind me right now is a symbol of victory, a cross. I already told you Larry built that, made that. But let me tell you a little bit about this cross. It was the last project that Larry made for us here at Walk by Faith. You see, we had just rearranged our sanctuary a year and a half ago, and I asked Larry if he'd be willing to make a cross for us to put on the new backdrop. Of course, he said yes. You see, Larry, he goes, I'll do it for you, but can you measure it for me? So I got the tape measure out, and I measured it for him. I called Blue, and I told him the measurements. Before I knew it, there's that white car pulling underneath the awning. He got out with his tape measure in hand and told me we're going to measure again. He didn't trust my measurements. You see, Larry knew me. Of course, if he built the cross that I measured, it would have been not right. While we were measuring, Larry told me all the projects that he was working on. He had a pretty long list. I said, Blue, there's no rush. There's no rush, okay? It's Christmas time. We can put Christmas decorations up. There is absolutely no rush. I made that very clear to him. Did he listen? No. That was a Tuesday. Thursday morning, I got a call. The cross was done and stained. I'm on my way. I'll see you in 5 minutes. He didn't even ask if I was here. He was coming. As I was sitting right there yesterday, thinking about my buddy Blue and the goodness and faithfulness of God, I thought of Larry's last project. I began to smile. I might be emotional right now, but these aren't sad tears for my friend Blue. These are happy tears for him. You see, Larry's last project for us is a symbol of victory. Larry's last project for us was a reminder of the hope that we have in Jesus. And I find it pretty fitting that that was the last project. Larry taught me many things. Larry taught many of us in the room many things. For some in this room, you were able to call Larry Dad. For others, you were able to call Larry Grandpa. For one, you were able to call Larry Husband. Many of us were able to call Larry Friend. Larry taught many lessons. But one of the greatest ones he showed all of us is what it means to be a friend. We live in a world where friendship is often defined as list of our friends or followers on social media, things like Instagram or Facebook. Often our interacting with friends is through the sharing of photos or a funny meme or a video or a text. In many ways today, our modern lifestyles actually work against having a real, true, genuine friend. Today, about all of us, myself included, is overscheduled, overstretched, and over busy. Between work, school, household chores or duties, and family commitments, there isn't a lot of time left to develop a true, real, genuine friendship. We live in a time, you all know it, where most friendships are filled with small talk. A lot of that happened this morning when I asked many of you, how are you doing? Fine. Okay. Got it. You see, that wasn't Larry. Larry cared. Larry showed up. Larry loved. And man, did my buddy Blue encourage. Tanya, can you show the next slide? I found that in a folder in my office Thursday night. I just got done talking to Pastor Brian in his yard, and I said, Brian, we need to go up to Fort Wayne tomorrow. I think God's calling Larry home. I didn't know. And I came back and I opened a folder on my desk of cards that I keep. I've joked for years that the only notes and cards I keep are the signed ones. If you have a note for me and you don't sign it, I probably won't keep it. This was from my buddy Blue. Man, did he encourage me. Often. Now, let me be honest. Larry would tell, I'll shoot it to you straight. Larry wasn't the person that I'd be done preaching. That was the best every time. That's the best sermon. That's the, no. It's he'd come up to me and go, "Well, you've done better before."
Yep, it happens.
But man, did he encourage. Encourage each other. Encourage each other with a simple note. Encourage each other. Be more than a text. Pick up the phone. Go to the location and tell somebody what they mean to you. Look around this morning. We have a lot of people in this room going through a season of great difficulty. We've got some of our own in rehab hospital, a hospital, others fighting cancer. We have many in this room this morning through the thick of it. Encourage them to continue. Larry showed us all what it meant to be a friend. He showed us all what true biblical friendship looks like. Larry was a true friend who stayed by your side, not only to just have fun. Larry had a lot of fun. Craig Hoppus has told me a few stories, but also to support, to motivate, and to encourage. I mean, days before he was taken by ambulance to the hospital, he was at a softball game. That's my buddy, Blue. Larry was loyal, and man, was Larry kind. I can't tell you how many Pepsis I've drank or Mountain Dews, and I had no desire to drink a Pepsi or Mountain Dew. I'm a Cherry Coke man. But Larry would go, "I'm giving you a drink." "No, I'm good." And those darn, what's the candy? Help me out here. They're like Neckos? Yeah, like cough drops. That's what it felt like. He always thought I needed those. Enjoy them if you like them. That's all, just put it that way. Larry was a friend that not only encouraged, I've said that, but he'd want to encourage all of us here to continue, to press on, to keep the faith. Larry was that friend that loved you and wouldn't give up on you. He was that friend when I'd come back from a mission trip to Belize that would genuinely listen. Larry was never able to go to Belize, but he asked the best questions. How did Larry do it? How was Larry able to be that friend? Larry was able to be that friend because he knew that Jesus was his friend and that Jesus did it for him. Larry knew that Jesus didn't give up on him. Larry knew that Jesus loved him even when Larry was unlovable. Larry knew that Jesus cheered him on to continue and not quit. We started this morning with the hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Larry was one that told me often he likes the older songs. Okay. I want to read you the words of a song that when I think of my buddy Blue, it's an old hymn. You see, Larry had a relationship with Jesus. And the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," when I hear that, I think of my buddy Blue and the relationship he had. I'm going to read you the words. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Hath we trials and temptations? Is there trouble everywhere, anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find solace there. What a friend we have in Jesus. Take it to the Lord in prayer." 3 weeks ago, Larry sat with us in the seat that his grandson Matt is sitting in right now. It was obvious that Larry didn't feel well. But he was here. just like he was always here. Through cancer, here. Through grief, here. Through pain, he was here. Larry was always here. He made church a priority. That is why it's no surprise I looked up there and I see my friend Nancy here this morning. 3 weeks ago, Larry heard me preach about Daniel in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6, a powerful story and a powerful section of scripture, a story of faith, trust, and obedience and courage, a story filled with God's goodness and God making a way when no way seemed to be had or no way seemed to be found. As I sat with Larry this week, I reminded him that God was good and that God was making a way for him, just like God made a way for Daniel in the lion's den. I didn't know what the next few days held for my friend Blue, but I knew who held them. Walk by faith, friends, this morning. Scripture is full of promises. Promises to know, promises to remember, and promises to build and live your life on. Time and time again last week, I read scripture. I read Larry three powerful verses to know and to hold on to. I want to read them to you this morning. I didn't have them in here, but I'm going to read them to you this morning. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear. So do not fear, for I am with you. This is God talking. For do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And the final one is in Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. On Tuesday morning when I was reading or quoting the verses in Deuteronomy 31 to Larry, I watched his hand reach up. He had reached out for Nancy a few times, but this was different. It was almost like Larry was trying to take a hold of something. Personally, this is me talking. Personally, I believe that Larry was reaching out for the hand of Jesus, his creator, his friend, his way maker. I believe that Larry was grabbing a hold because he was ready to be taken home. I end this morning with this truth. The same hand. The same hand that reached out and Larry took a hold of is reaching out to every single one of us today. Jesus is saying, take hold. He's saying, walk with me. He's saying, let me guide you and let me lead you. He's saying, listen, I'm not going to leave you, nor am I going to forsake you. I'm here with you. He's saying, I won't quit. I won't give up on you. He's saying, listen, if you stumble, and you will, I'll be there to pick you up, dust you off, and say, let's keep on going. Some of us have been walking in step with Jesus hand in hand for a while. Others of us have let go. Others of us have quit. You know, I don't know your story, but Jesus does. You're not too far lost. You're not too far gone. Through the cross, you have hope, and it's a living hope. Take hold of Jesus' hand today. Trust in Jesus today. Surrender to Jesus today. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is good. Jesus is a way maker. And Jesus is the only one that can give you victory. I'm going to miss my friend Blue. We as a church are going to miss our friend Larry. What a legacy. What a testimony. Blue, save a seat for me. I can't wait to hear about all the wood projects you've been working on and all the screws that are in it. I'll act like I care this time. In blue, it's not goodbye. It's thank you. Heavenly Father, we give thanks today. Lord, I know some people here didn't know Larry that well, but hopefully today they're reminded of the hope and victory and the goodness and faithfulness of you. Lord, I'm thankful for the people you put in our lives, the people we can laugh with, we can cry with, the people that remind us of your goodness and your faithfulness. Father, in it all, you're faithful. Through it all, you're faithful. God, be with the family as they navigate these next few days. And Lord, be with our dear friend Nancy. Give her strength. Give her courage. Father, I pray that Nancy looks around today and knows that we're here for her. God, we're just thankful today for who you are. In your name, amen. You know, I've thrown a lot of curveballs today. Let's stand. We're going to close in song. And if you have a bulletin, it's a different sermon title. It's different opening song than we're supposed to do. Right, Rick? Throwing a lot of curveballs today. So what's one more?